So what is this real conversation taking place about guns and gun freedom in America? All around the nation, people are a part of that conversation. And at a grassroots level, there are places and people listening into that conversation, trying to learn more. Next week, I'm headed to Portland, Oregon, where the reporters at Oregon Public Broadcasting have been working on a project called Gun Stories. Think instead of Planet Money, Planet Guns. Turns out, everyone remembers their first gun. For Michelle Finn, it was a firearm called Baby.
And all us granddaughters would go in Grandma and Grandpa's bedroom, and we'd sit on the bed and eat cookies and candy and just talk. And Baby was always there. And it was never, it was like no big deal. It was like seeing a pillow in a bedroom.
Oregon hunter Glenn Brown remembers his first gun, but even more, he remembers his first kill as a hunter.
And most hunters have that sort of poignant moment when the game goes down. I mean, it is a spiritual, or that's quite the right word, or existential or profound, but there is that moment that I know most hunters have. It's not bloodlust that drives us.
Those are some of the stories we'll be hearing from Oregon next week, but what is your gun story, or the story of your first gun? Guns are deeply woven into the American experience in so many ways beyond the headlines. You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tweet us using the hashtag GunStories, all one word, or check out Oregon Public Broadcasting's great reporting at gunstories.tumblr.com. So back to Connecticut now, and part of what is unusual about the gun conversation in the state of Connecticut is that the state has a history of gun manufacturing. Once the center of weapons manufacturing in the U.S., it is still the seventh largest in the country. Colt has been in Connecticut since the 1800s. Sturm, Ruger & Company and Mossberg & Sons, also gun manufacturers in Connecticut. And these manufacturers are also big employers in the state. John Scalise owns Ammunition Storage Components, a gun manufacturer in New Britain, Connecticut. His company has 150 employees and has been in the state for 17 years. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John.
So, John, let me get you to react to two things. I don't know how much involved in the global arms trade you are, the export market, but what's your reaction to this United Nations treaty to regulate the arms trade around the world?
To be completely forthright with you, John, I don't have a full command of the issues with respect to the UN treaty, and I don't believe that I'm qualified to render opinion on such, as I have not done my homework on that particular issue.
But does it hit you in the gut to have the UN regulating possible use of guns in the United States, since they're not, you know, part of the constitutional U.S., you know, governmental?
Yes, John. The thought of any legislative body outside of the United States having the ability to controvert any of our United States constitutional rights and guarantees is very concerning to me.
Gotcha. Now, I suspect you have done your homework on what's going on there in the Connecticut legislature.
You are correct.
What's your reaction there?
I'm very, very disappointed. It saddens me that there was an opportunity here in Connecticut, based on the unfortunate tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, for our legislature to show some leadership and courage and really do something meaningful that would make our community here in Connecticut safer. And instead, the route that seems to be taking is the political route, and the banning of rifles based on cosmetic features, the banning of magazines based on arbitrary capacity numbers, which, you know, we don't know how they've reached them. The deal itself, as we know it, is at this point, the latest report I got is not finished being written yet, and they're going to finish writing it today, vote on it today, and the governor is going to sign it today into law without a public hearing, without any transparency, without any airing of what the actual language in the law is to be vetted by the public. And the Hartford Courant editorial board has actually called for a hearing, a public hearing on the final version of the law when it's written, and that's been ignored. And it seems very unfortunate to me, and it seems a little bit more than coincidental, that the President of the United States is going to be in Connecticut on Monday, and we have to rush this through today or tomorrow. It seems peculiar and very odd circumstance at a minimum.
John, before we go, under a minute, is it an arbitrary distinction between a magazine that holds three bullets versus a magazine that holds 10 or more?
I believe it is. I believe that's an arbitrary number. I don't know how they come up with these numbers. The police throughout the United States approximately 20, 25 years ago began to transition from a revolver, which was a typical service the typical service piece for law enforcement holding 6 bullets, they transitioned to a semi-automatic pistol because they carry 15 to 18 generally. Right. And they decided that those were better for defense of life and property.
All
so,
right. Manufacturer's view of what's going on in Connecticut. John Scalise owns Ammunition Storage Components, a manufacturer in New Britain, Connecticut. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.